Welcome, and thank you for coming to another one of our little podcasts here. Today I would like to talk about 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, where it reads, "Of God, you are in Christ Jesus, who is made unto us wisdom from God, both righteousness and sanctification and redemption." And attached to this, I'm going to do John chapter 15 in verse 1, where it simply states, "My Father is the husbandman." To go to the first verse that I kind of pointed to in 1 Corinthians, it talks about how we are in Christ Jesus. As believers, we are basically in Christ through baptism. That's kind of a simple statement, declaration that was made by the church from its very foundations. And this is what Paul's talking about to the believers at Corinth, that even though they are still feeble and still doing things in a very worldly or carnal way, fleshly way, because they're only remaining as children in Christ, Paul wants them to know that there's something more that they're called to. It's not just merely a coming unto Jesus and repenting. It's a deeper relationship, one where they're basically placed in Christ and they have this extra blessing as well. And this is kind of what he's trying to set them apart and get them to understand, that the entire Christian life to which they are called to depends upon our clear understanding of this being in Christ, this abiding as the vine in on a branch goes for. And he wants it to really be something to where every day you renew this confession of faith, if you will, by reminding yourself that you are in Christ Jesus. You are placed in him as a branch on a vine. And because of this, if you take this as your starting point, you'll be brought into the deeper depths of what it is God has waiting for you. Because we are told in that first scripture that he's been made unto us wisdom by God, as well as righteousness and sanctification and redemption. All the things that we need is basically packaged by our relationship in Christ. And we need to not only remember this union to Christ as kind of an external thing that we have nothing to do with, but we need to see it as something that God's working out in and through us, something that we need to cooperate with, a grace that we should not struggle against and fight off by continuing to live in whatever sin or pain or suffering that has held us bound in the past. Because it is when we look to God and the work that he's doing through the Holy Spirit and allow him to work through us that we will see that we are in Christ Jesus, and that this husbandman, this caretaker, this farmer basically taking care of all these vines that we are that are in God's garden, or branches that are in God's garden, us, that we will see that everything that we need to keep us there has already been provided for us. All we have to do is cooperate with it. And this is what the main thrust of today's thought is that once we become partakers of this union with Christ, that we rest in the work of God, the grace of God, to continue to work that out in us. Because he's the one that gives the motivation and the power for us to be able to do even more above and abundantly above all that we can even ask or think. So we have that kind of working for us. We have basically, as a result of this movement, a deeper conversion experience that happens every moment of our lives and such like that. And it takes us into a much more deeper depth than we could get if we just stayed who we were and not tried to cooperate with God's grace. It's kind of like when Peter stepped out of the boat and started walking on water. He first realized he couldn't walk on the water himself, but he basically said, "If you're really Jesus, call me out there to walk on that water with you." And Jesus, saying good teachable moment, told him to get out of the boat. He still had to get out of the boat and do the walking on the water, keeping his eyes on Jesus, cooperating with the grace. But that's really where we're at. And the more that we enter into this divine work of salvation, cooperating with the grace that God is giving to each one of us to make us a much more united person to him by his suffering, death, and resurrection, and by our daily living, that grace in how we treat others, we'll learn to truly be able to recognize God in a way that each one of our lives becomes a form of praise and worship that just makes even more glorious his name in the world. As we continue going on, we can see that it's the calling that we have. Romans 8 verse 30 basically talks about how those whom he's predestinated, them are the ones he's also called. It's a predestination unto this image of Christ that we're supposed to have, and it's being formed in him that we are to do. So this purpose of all eternity is so that when God looks at us, he sees us in Christ. And this is kind of an important part for a lot of us to gather. I remember talking with a friend not too long ago that's going through a hard, difficult time and struggling with certain issues that arose from a previous experience that she had. And I had to point out to this person, you need to start seeing the other people the same way God sees you. Not by you as an individual, but by you as a person in Christ. And if we can truly get to see the suffering Christ on the cross, suffering for us, making things right, then we will relate in a much better and more proper way and be able to forgive just like he's forgiven from the cross and learn to go deeper into love, because that's what the whole abiding in Christ can bring for us, is this working out of salvation. Because just as God has his eyes fixed on Jesus Christ and seeing us in Christ as a branch in the vine, we too must see ourselves that way, as well as everyone else that we meet, because that's how we go deeper into the things of God. We understand that of God we are placed in Christ in baptism, because that's the opening part to everything. We go by faith into Christ. And as we begin to do this as the first stepping stone of all of our faith, we can get much more deeper. In fact, Jeremiah puts it this way in the 31st chapter, third verse, where he says, God has appeared in times of old, basically declaring, you I have loved with an everlasting love. Therefore, with mercy and loving kindness have I drawn you. This is something we really need to understand. It's a love that he's loved us for all eternity, seeing us in Christ Jesus. Just as each member of the Holy Trinity existed forever, by seeing us in Christ, it's like he's loved us for all eternity. And with the same love that he loves us, and he's loved Jesus since all eternity. And that's really where the real turning point goes. And this is what the mystery of our salvation boils down to. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 9 puts it in these words. The mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in himself. He proposed it in himself from all eternity that he would love us. And he determined to love us in Christ Jesus. That's why when Jesus died on a cross, and why we are called to be branches of a vine, that it's returning to that eternal love that we once had with him. And this is what in Ephesians 1:11, he talks about us obtaining an inheritance, being predestined, according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. It's an eternal counsel that we should bear the image and likeness of him, not just him who is a spirit, but him who was made incarnate, a man. That's why God breathed into this formed body that was made of the dust of the ground, and we became a living being as a result of both being spiritual, breath breathed in from God, and physical of the earth, because we would manifest the incarnation of Christ. And this is the free grace that brings us into Christ and transforms us even more into the very image and likeness that we are called to be of God in Christ. What's more amazing to this, if we really take time to understand it, is that this whole point is about getting us to a proper position and a right standing with him. Every plant which the Heavenly Father's not planted gets rooted up. So it's very important that you don't put yourself in a situation to where you're a bad harvest that has to be rooted up by God, who's basically the sower, sowing the seed, the one who's taking care of the ground. It's basically been stated in Matthew 15:13 that if you're not someone that's planted by God, if you're not in Christ Jesus, you're going to be rooted up and thrown away. The fruitless branches are the ones that are gathered and thrown into fire, as we're told in other scripture. And that's why it's important for us to really gain a true understanding and remain in Christ, who is the true vine. Because if we'll remain in Christ, if we will bear much fruit, if we'll do the things of cooperating with grace, we'll be led deeper into the things of God. And it's because of this that we can see that the Father, to whom Christ owed all that he was, and in whom he had all his strength and all his life as a vine, allows us to have that same strength and life, and to truly grow as someone who has a place and security in Christ by just cooperating with that grace. The very same love and delight which the Father watched over his beloved Son, he watches over every member of his Son's body. That's every one of us who remain in Christ Jesus. This is the calling to be a branch on a vine. This is a calling which gives us a confident trust in God, a trust that sees him because we realize our relationship to him and our need for him and his providing love and mercy for us. It's a reciprocal relationship. It's no longer just a religion. It's something that we share with him. As a branch is basically kept by the vine, so we need to see ourselves as being kept by Christ and cooperating with his leadings as we go through our lives. We don't just live our lives to be the sinners that we were when we came to him initially, but we live our lives with a choice of continuing to be the kind of Catholic Christians that we're called to be in his church. We see that praying is one of the key things, and worship is one of the key things that we need to maintain. And therefore, as we begin to enter into this relationship of communion with him, continually waiting upon him moment by moment and letting ourselves realize just how fully united we need to be in Christ and to let him perfect his own divine work in us and cooperate every moment with the leading of the Holy Spirit to will and to do his good pleasure, as he in Philippians chapter 2 verse 11 make available to us, that we ourselves will end up being that workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus unto good works that Ephesians 2 verse 10 talks about. This is the importance of why we need to truly see ourselves as grafted into Christ and to bring forth much fruit by cooperating with his grace. Because this is the work that God creates, and this is the work that he does within us and through us to the world. Just as he created the sun to give light, he's also perfected it and does the work of making sure that it does it. just as God created the eye to see, it's so beautifully fulfilled by its capacity and ability to just see objects in front of it, like this computer that I'm talking to, this desk that the computer's on, and this room that I'm sitting in. That's the beauty of the eye. And he's created every one of us to do some good works, to cooperate with his grace and produce fruit that will benefit the others. And that makes us fit for an eternal purpose that's even greater and cannot be derailed by any act of men and their pain and suffering that they try to inflict upon us. Because if I'm truly in Christ, created anew, made a branch of the vine, I'm fitted to produce the fruit that God wants to have done. I'm fit to be someone that can be a blessing to another, no matter the circumstance that I'm living in. As long as I can accept this wonderful revelation about how God, in uniting me to Christ as a branch on a vine, really truly seeps into my brain, I'll actually get it and have a lot of spiritual growth and fruitfulness that'll benefit the world. This is the mindset we need to have. And it also calls us to a deeper life of prayer. Because once we truly understand this, we'll learn that we need to yield ourselves to the mighty influence of God as a branch on a vine. And realize that the same God to whom Christ is made all that he is for us, and of whom we have all that we get, will also surely make us able to maintain what we cooperate with him to do. So I want you to take time today, praise God for this new revelation about just how deep this magnificent blessing is, and how wise it is, and how much it really secures your sanctification through the good works that are able to be produced by the grace of God through you, and to see that your redemption and that your entire being useful is a product of the grace that God works out in and through you. Because from eternity, both you and the good Lord Jesus Christ were ordained to be paired up together. Inseparably, you belong to him as a Christian child of God, baptized into him through water baptism and faith. And it is therefore recognizable that what God had started, his will is also that it continues, that you continue to abide in Christ. And it is an abiding work that God himself will make sure comes to full fruition before your life is over. And because of that, we can praise him for everything that he is and everything he will continue to do, and allow us to one day walk with him in paradise if we continue to abide, that is, continue to have faith and cooperate in the grace that he makes available to us. Thank you for spending this time, and I hope you have a blessed day.